Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Let's talk about the big story from the world of technology this week, which comes down to three words. No headphone jack. It's a seismic shift in the world of smartphones, or so Apple wants us to believe, as it rolled out its new iPhone 7 this week. Here's Apple's Senior Vice President, Worldwide Marketing, Phil Schiller, at yesterday's event.
Now, some people have asked why we would remove the analog headphone jack from the iPhone. Well, the reason to move on, courage. The courage to move on, do something new that betters all of us.
Courage. And speaking of courage, here to give us his thoughts on the new iPhone 7 is Boston Globe tech columnist Hiawatha Bray. Hiawatha, great to have you as always.
Yeah, well, it takes a lot of nerve to keep coming on this show, let me tell you.
but you've got the courage. So listen, here's my question.
Absolutely.
Usually the headlines from these events say, here are all the new cool things these gadgets have. But in this case, they've taken something away. No headphone jack. Why is this such a big deal?
Well, I don't know that it is a huge deal, but it's quite important. And I think it's actually leading up to a long-term strategy by Apple to get us to a portless iPhone. If you think about it, now that they're going to have a phone without a headphone jack, the only place to plug something in is going to be that lightning connector that you use for charging up the phone.
Right.
And now you're going to use it for listening because they're going to use that as the audio jack. You're going to, it's going to come with a headphone, a wired headphone that fits into the lightning jack. It will also come with an adapter so that those with older headphones will continue to use the old phone. But they're going to take the space that they save from removing the headphone jack and use it for more electronics. Strictly speaking, it makes a lot of sense because it's incredibly difficult to put anything new inside the case of a smartphone. They're already just crowded with stuff, and they're saying this is a chance for us to try something new by getting rid of something.
So if I have this right, new iPhone users are going to have to remember their lightning to headphone adapter or remember to charge their $159 wireless AirPod headphones. I mean, this is all sounding like a loss of convenience to me, anyway.
Well, it might be. No, let's be very clear. For a lot of people, it might turn out to be inconvenient. I don't know if it'll stop people from buying these, but it could have that effect for at least some consumers. But you can see where this is going. Right now, we're approaching a point with smartphones where the only reason to plug anything into them is to recharge their batteries, and you don't even have to do that. There are already phones on the market that have inductive charging, where you just drop the phone onto a special pad, and it charges. No need to plug in anything. And it's clear that Apple is starting to move in that direction.
Sometimes they blow up, though, right? Sometimes they blow up, like the Samsung phones have been.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the other big tech story of the year, of the week. Just as this is happening, Samsung, which has been doing a brilliant job catching up to Apple and in some ways surpassing them, their latest flagship device has gotten absolutely rave reviews. And then the batteries in them start to blow up. And they've had to recall 2.5 million of them because at least 35 of them have exploded or caught fire.
Wow.
It's really it's a bizarre situation.
Yeah.
But everybody is up against that problem. I don't think this has been a big problem for Apple, but these batteries inside these phones are just being asked to work miracles because the stuff our phones do require a lot of electric power, and we expect them to last all day. So they keep finding new ways to squeeze in more power. And if you don't build those batteries exactly right, if there's the slightest manufacturing flaw, that's what happens.
Right. Well, Hiawatha, talk a little bit more about some of the other new features on the iPhone 7. What else caught your attention?
Well, I'll tell you, by far the only other thing that I thought was really, really significant, although, again, it's not new, is the idea of a dual-lens camera, which is an attempt to solve one of the classic problems with smartphone cameras. I mean, most smartphone cameras, they take really good pictures of things that are fairly close, or you can take, you know, big panoramic shots. But if you wanted to do a zoom in to something, they use digital zoom, and digital zoom looks awful because all it does is blow up the pixels inside the picture. And of course, everything starts to look grainy. The way to do zoom properly is with an optical zoom where you actually do it through the lens and then everything's sharp. And now they've come up with a way to do that. You put two lenses on the camera. One is effectively a telephoto lens. The other is a standard lens. You want to shoot something farther away, you use the telephoto lens. But LG has had a phone like that on the market for months. And by the way, there's a company called Lite. They're not making a phone. They make a camera that has 16 lenses on it. And when you take a picture, it uses like 10 of them at a time. And it makes them, it takes the same shot at multiple focal lengths. So you can then take the picture and actually refocus the picture after you've taken it. You can make the foreground in focus, or you can make the background in focus after you've taken it. That's the way we're starting to move with cameras as we put multiple lenses on them. I don't know how far they're going to take it, but it could make some really interesting photographic options available. But other than that, and the headphone jack, no, this is a pretty boring announcement. Most of this is just more of the same.
More of the same. In fact, in your column today, your headline was iPhone 7 offers a few new tricks. The New York Times ran a headline saying Apple's aesthetics have grown stale. Do you think that's the case? Does it seem like Apple's new products are packing less of a punch than they used to?
Well, there's no question about it, but so are everybody else's. I wrote about this actually about a month ago. The problem is that we're hitting a technological wall. Moore's law is actually even starting to peter out. That's the famous law that says that processors are going to get faster and faster and faster. They're not getting much faster. Our computers today are not much faster than they were 5 years ago. And worse yet, even if they were, the stuff we do on our computers, we are all locked into doing certain standard things, and the computers that we are currently using are more than fast enough. So Apple comes out yesterday and says, oh, our new processor is faster than ever. And they may be right, but you won't be able to tell, because it will run everything you're already doing just about as fast as the processor you're using now. And that's the big problem. Nothing is getting much better. We're used to this for years now.
Right.
We've been looking at an industry where things have gotten better really fast, and that stopped. Everything's only getting better slow. And, you know, like last week, I wrote about a new Cadillac, and it's gotten to the point where cars are becoming technologically more advanced faster than our computers are. They're really starting to explode with new technology, and computers and smartphones are pretty much standing still.
See, it's really interesting because for the longest time, this curve of evolution of these handheld gadgets was getting steeper and steeper and steeper. But you're saying now that it seems to be leveling off, that
absolutely,
we aren't sort of racing toward that singularity after all.
Well, I don't know. I doubt very much whether we ever were racing toward a singularity. By the way, as I say in my column, I think that this decision to remove the headphone jack is part of one attempt that Apple is making to do something really innovative. I think they're going to get rid, ultimately, of the Lightning connector, too. They're going to build in a wireless charging station, and you're going to buy a future iPhone that has absolutely no place to plug in anything. You will never plug anything into your phone. It will just be this object. It'll look like the slab, the monolith from 2001. It'll just be this black thing that will work and will have no plugs or ports anywhere. And I think that's where they're going. But even that is not an earth-shaking transformation. It's just, you know, aesthetic mostly.
Sure. Well, that's Hiawatha Bray, tech columnist for the Boston Globe, talking about the end of life as we've known it and the Apple iPhone 7 with no headphone jack. Hiawatha, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Fun to be here. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Well, let's stick with technology and how it intersects with politics in this case. Boston University's College of Communication has developed a new smartphone app that seeks to reach younger voters, millennials, and encourage them to be more politically informed and involved. And here's the challenge that this is trying to address. The younger you are, the less interested in political news you are. That's according to the Pew Research Center. It found that 45% of baby boomers say politics are among the three issues they care about most. Only a third of Gen Xers feel that way, and even fewer millennials. From a list of nine topics, just a quarter of millennials put politics and government among their top three issues. And given the state of current political debate, well, who can blame them?
Hillary Clinton was the worst Secretary of State in the history of the United States.
Donald Trump has built his campaign on prejudice and paranoia.
Hillary Clinton is a bigot.
Donald Trump's ideas aren't just different. They are dangerously incoherent.
Attacks and counterattacks, an obsession with polls and process, all of which discourage younger voters from engaging.
We're watching an election cycle where we're literally judging who's the best entertainer, and we've forgotten that at the end of the day, someone has to govern, and if we have to govern, we have to know how we're going to solve problems.
This is Tom Cosgrove, a longtime Boston-based political consultant and organizer. He's the developer of a new smartphone app called Involve, which has the motto, democracy is not a spectator sport.
This is an intersection of civics and journalism to get people to be involved, to take a look, and to play a role in it.
Hillary Clinton is responding to the problem of mass shootings by pushing for what she calls common sense gun restrictions.
I know that we have a majority of Americans and
the app offers sober and unbiased reports like this one. delivered by veteran Boston newsman R.D. Saul on a variety of issues, from guns to ISIS to global warming to student debt. There are also longer write-ups and expert interviews on the various campaign issues. Tom Fiedler is the dean of BU's College of Communication, which produces the material and curates the app.
It's a site where anyone can go. We really are hoping that it'll be attractive to young people in particular, and find rigorously gathered and conveniently presented position information about the presidential campaign.
True to its name and mission, Involved also encourages users to get involved by voting on various policy proposals and submitting their own directly to the candidates through social media. Again, Tom Fiedler.
This is particularly important to this generation of young people. They don't want to be on just the receiving side of information that comes to them on high. They want to be able to engage with information and share it. This is what they have grown up with.
Oh, I think it's actually a great idea because me personally, I'm not a huge politics person.
This is Sanaz Taherniya, a journalism grad student at BU. She's one of the student reporters with Involved, which she says is a great way to engage people like her, millennials who might be turned off by politics.
It kind of brings it down to a more understandable, like, layperson's level of political understanding. The interactive element really draws people in, and I think actually it will pique the interest within a lot of people, especially millennials.
Reaching millennials this way makes sense because, not surprisingly, a plurality of them get their news from their smartphones. So do lots of other people. In fact, Johanna Dunaway, an associate professor of communication at Texas A&M University, says in the near future more than 70% of all online activity will take place on mobile devices like smartphones and tablets. And this concerns her. Dunaway says research suggests that smaller screens and slower wireless connection speeds mean people spend less time engaged with material than they do on a laptop, for example. In other words, smartphones may be a good route to reach millennials, but it might not be encouraging them to go as deeply into the subject matter as they could.
In an already low political knowledge and low civically engaged society, such as here in the U.S., what does it mean if people might be even less likely to seek out and pay attention to news content carefully because we're all on these mobile devices?
That concern may be valid, but R.D. Saul, the veteran Boston newsman who teaches journalism at BU, says Involved is an effort to reach younger voters where they live.
They don't watch traditional television newscasts. They don't listen to traditional radio newscasts. They live on their handheld devices, and this is an app that enables them to do that.
Involved has just been launched, so there's no way to measure its popularity or effectiveness yet, but its designers hope that it will provide a new way to engage younger voters in substance and solutions rather than sound bites. So let us know what you think about how to engage younger voters and whether you think mobile technology is the answer. Send us a tweet at Radio Boston or leave a comment at radioboston.org. And stay with us. Coming up, should colleges have a phys ed requirement? I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.